Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I've seen some things that I'm like, wow, God, you're so much bigger than I give you credit for. And I think that we're all guilty of that. So I want to talk a little bit about this tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation. All power to Him forever. I don't know, this verse has been real to me. After you have suffered for a little while, I don't know if anybody's ever suffered. Maybe it be in health, maybe it be in financial, maybe it be in certain areas. But after you suffered for a little while, the Bible says a promise right here, He will restore. He will restore, He'll support you, He'll strengthen you. He'll place you on a firm foundation. And you know, I've watched some of that happen. And I want to tonight get in my mind the correct image of Him for where I'm at, and then know that I still haven't arrived yet with my image of Him. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, an Old Testament truth here that I think is really important as we're talking tonight. It says, "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." Now everybody here has heard that and you're going, okay, Pastor, you just set up having the correct image of God. Why are we talking about images other than God? Because I think this verse is way bigger than a golden calf. Now, that was an issue, obviously, that they made and something that they did. But to introduce what I'm talking about tonight, idol worship is always something that God has despised. Idol worship always is something God has despised. We see it from the beginning. We see this as one of the Ten Commandments that God has established. And we don't put any other gods before me. I mean, I am God. And so we all go, of course, I understand that. And our first response is, well, Pastor, you know, I don't do that. And we don't do that today. We don't serve images. We don't serve idols. We don't do that. Well, my response to that is, I think you're not under a complete understanding here. Because really, we don't. I've watched, when I was having some health issues over the last couple of months, me making this statement to a few doctors. I am here because I am placing myself under your wisdom, what you have to offer, and I'm going to do whatever you say. And so I did. And then I found myself under the next doctor that said something different than the previous doctor. And I said, I'm here to place myself under your wisdom, and I'm here to do whatever you say. And so I did. And then the third doctor, I'm here to place myself. Four doctors later, I'm going, all of them said something just a little different. Who am I placing myself under? I'm going to hear their wisdom, but God, I place myself under your divine protection, under your counsel, under your wisdom. And if the doctors can use whatever wisdom they have, I know that all wisdom comes from you. And so I'll receive that. But four of them's kind of messed up on what they said. So you have to dive in and kind of get some understanding of what do I do here. And so I think a lot of times when you have health issues, people place themselves under, bowing down to, worshiping a doctor or a pill or something that's not God. And we start putting more, come on now, we start putting more faith and more trust in a little pill that's going to deliver me than the God who made everything, including that pill, for my deliverance. See, our idol or our image, we have to understand what they are. And I'm just talking about in the area of health, but you've got to relate this to every area, every area. The first meaning of an idol or image, as I really dove in and tried to find out some of this, is an idol or an image is man-made, or can be man-made. It can be the works of man's hands. It can be created by man. In other words, it's something that you make or that's made by a person or a man that we choose to bow down to or place our worship under. Let me just tell you, there is four different kinds and there's a bunch of other different kinds of blood thinners. You got to know I just talk about what I've been dealing with in life. And there used to be only one that they only used, and that was Coumadin. Am I correct in what I'm saying? We've got some nurses here tonight. So Coumadin was it. Well, I found out that there's three newer ones that have been tested and worked on, and they've got all of these things, and you don't even have to take blood tests to make sure you're at the right dosage. You just take one a day, or one of them you take two times a day, and it just does everything that you need to get your blood where it needs to be, and I'm just sitting here going, this is just wonderful. Well, what I'm here to tell you is, why didn't they have that 20 years ago? They only had one 20 years ago. Now they got four, so they've added three to what they had. Because man made something that they think is better than what they had 20 years ago. And so what happens is we start talking to all these doctors that know all about these four different medications, and they start telling you, well, this one's better. Well, here's what I heard. I heard one doctor say, well, this one's better. Heard another doctor say, well, this one's better. And I heard another one say, this one's better. The last doctor I went to said, you chose the right one because they gave me the choice. I'm like, me? Yeah, because they all cost different amounts, and you got to figure out which one's going to work best for what you think, so they give you all this material to read up on, and you have to make a doctor's decision on the four. Well, the last doctor I said, you chose right, according to my opinion. Well, great. I'm really glad, and I'm glad that within the last 10 to 15 years that man has made something that now I'm going to come under. And I just, the more I thought about that, I thought I'm not coming under something man-made. Not that I'm not going to take it, but God knew all about Eliquis before man ever knew anything about it. See, and I got to get to a point where I understand that God is smarter than any doctor out there. He can use a doctor. He can use Eliquis. He can use different things, but know this, man, when you acknowledge that man made it, then you put yourself under man's making. And you've got to get the right image of God so that you have the right image of whatever you're coming under in this world. Am I making sense? Because really, you're going to take the medication. I'm not telling you if the doctor says you need to take this, don't take it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm taking what the doctor's told me. But I'm thankful to God for my healing. I'm thankful to God. That's already been paid for. And I'm going to walk in whatever I need to do in the wisdom, but I'm not going to acknowledge coming under a pill or coming under a man. I'm coming under God. See, you got to get the difference here. The second meaning of an idol or image, it says in verse 8, you must not make for yourself. And then it goes on to say, or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. An image or an idol. Now, it could be a rock. Well, you didn't make a rock. God did. So God made this rock, and you start worshiping it. I had a pet rock growing up. That I just thought was cool. When I was in Israel, my grandfather stole from the Sea of Galilee a rock. It's sitting on my desk right now. Now, he didn't see any problem with it. Rock's a rock. God made it. He'll make more if needed. And so he took this rock home. And I say stole. I'm being, please don't think I'm putting him down. But we get back and I got this rock that came from the Holy Land. You know, I never touch it and go, God, please heal me through this rock. He made a rock. It's a rock. It looks different than rocks around here. It's kind of cool. But the thing is, it's not man-made. It's God-made. So you can understand that you can worship something that God makes and still be off. See, so a rock in and of itself, you could make an idol in your life. See, you didn't make the ocean, but you could make the ocean an image that you can just, boy, that's just where I just feel at most peace when I'm looking at the ocean. When you feel at most peace is when you have the Lord active in your life. It's not when you're looking at an ocean. And what we got to get to a point is understanding is you can't make something in your mind apply wrong or it will become an image or an idol. When you apply your mind to the wrong place and put something in a position that it doesn't need to be in, you're in trouble. See, when we worship something, what we're doing is we're treating it like God. We're treating it like God. And so we got to be careful that we don't put something in our lives in a place that we treat it like God wants to be treated. Vacations can be treated in an image or a view that I'm finally going to have peace and I'm going to have some joy and I'm going to have some tranquility, when you've got to know a vacation will never produce that. God only produces that. And if you don't have it before the vacation, you won't have it after the vacation. Now, I'm not saying don't go on vacation. I'm all about them. But what I'm saying is don't look for it to produce something that it was never intended to. See, we place ourselves in submission to a vacation, submission to a pill, submission to a doctor, submission to just getting off work at 5 o'clock, submission to food, submission to something, and we place that in a position that God really wants that position. He wants that position. Are you hearing me tonight? We get in this scripture here where it says bow down. We understand when we bow down to something, we place it in the wrong place. But let's talk about worship. The verb sense in this passage, it means to show reverence or adoration, respect or love for something, to honor, to adore, to praise, to glorify, to exalt, to hold dear, to cherish, to treasure, esteem, put on a pedestal, or magnify. Now, everybody goes, well, of course, that can only be God. Let me tell you, it can be 100 other things. It can be the new shoes you just bought. It can be anything. And what I want you to see is don't make with your hands or allow to be made with your mind something that you show reverence, adoration, respect, or love for above God and His commands. You can respect something. I respect certain animals that can eat me or hurt me. I have a respect. When I'm walking into a house and there's a pit bull coming up or a German shepherd or a dog that's very territorial for their home, I respect to keep my door shut and call whoever. Can you come out and get this dog, please? I'm not going to take a chance on opening the door and hi, puppy. And no. I have a respect for something that can hurt me. But I don't place that respect above my respect for God. See, I'm wise in what I do, but we've got to get to a point where we understand there's okay to adore something, to respect something, to love. It's when it comes above your love and respect for God that we get ourselves in trouble. God never changes, and He wants our focus and attention to be on Him and wants our understanding of Him over time to grow, which means that it will change. See, I look at God different than I did 20 years ago. I do because I've seen Him show up, show out. I've seen Him magnified. I've seen Him in places that I never saw 20 years ago and didn't understand. And when I'm talking to someone who's a new Christian, I have to understand that they don't have the same view of God as I do. And they're not going to get it overnight. They're not going to get an understanding overnight. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is same. Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, forever. In theological terms, that's called immutability. There's a big word for you. You can write that down if you want to press somebody. The immutability. Unchangeableness is my word, which is probably not a word. But God doesn't change. He's unchangeable. It's the basis for God saying, this famous statement that he has in Scripture, I am, I am, I am, I am that I am. Always, constantly in the present with no need to change. God the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I am, present tense, I am. I will be tomorrow the same I am today. So what I am needed for today, I can take care of tomorrow. I am that I am. Are you hearing? See, I am is what he says he is. And so I am whatever you're in need of in your life. Now, a lot of people think they're in need of something and they're blaming God because they didn't get it. But you've got to know that there's a lining up with the promises of God and a time factor with that. So God is I am for you today. And if you'll get on the right road, you'll end up at the destination of what your need is. It will be fulfilled. We all see God at different stages differently. See, sometimes, let's talk about this. Sometimes God is my father. And for those of you that may have had a dad that wasn't there, or a dad that wasn't that loving or wasn't that vocal of his love for you, or didn't meet your love need, or maybe you had a dad that wasn't. See, when I say, and you have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I say, he's my father, you start getting that. Because he's the father that a lot of times you may have never had. And you start going, God, thank you for loving me. And you find scriptures that just talk about, for God so loved the world. And then you take the world out and put, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son that I. See, you just start thinking about who God is and you make him personal. And when you start understanding that, I get him as my father. I get him as my savior. I get him as my king. But you know, there are different people that just see him as savior because all they ever saw him was save him from hell. But they never really saw him as a father. They never really saw him as their king. They never really came under the lordship of Jesus. They just got saved. Come on, a lot of people know people like that. They're the ones on Facebook that always say something about, I'm praising God that I'm going to heaven, but they don't realize how much is available for them now. So we see God at different stages. You know, sometimes people don't see him as a healer because they've never had a medical issue that they needed healed. And so they don't see him as that. And they don't know anybody that they did, or they know somebody that died and then they blame God because he didn't show up. So they never see God as a healer. They never see God as a comforter because they're always bound up and I don't know what I'm going to do. And they never will receive the comfort of God, and they've never seen him as that. Are you seeing how we all see God differently? We see him based on what we're seeing ourselves in need of, or where we see him as having come through in our life. So sometimes we see God different. Some people see him as a comforter. Some people see him as a protector. Man, I'm telling you, I got a call years ago when I worked nights that there was someone trying to break in the house. It was before we had kids and Michelle was home by herself. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, God, please let those be coon hunters. Please let them just be hunting coon out because they won't bother her. And please, whatever is trying to, and I mean, there was no wind and there was a door flapping and we don't know what was going on. And she's calling me and they're calling me at this big plant over the loudspeakers. Ashley Ellison, you have a phone call from your wife, and that doesn't happen unless there's an emergency. So I'm running, what's going on? Well, I'm 30 minutes from being able to get to where she is. And God, I need you to protect my wife. Guess what? We don't know what it was. All I know is she was protected. Nothing happened. Well, what was it? I don't know, but God protected her. And so from that point on, I remember thinking, he is such a protector. He protects my wife when I'm not there, my kids. And for years, I was traveling on the road. God, be my protector. And I would go back to areas of my life that I could see where he protected them. So when you view God in a certain area, you can assign a label to him. And you can go back and you can say, he did it then, he'll do it again. I don't know about you, but he's my provider. See, and I'm not getting into all the names of God, but the Bible speaks of all of these names of God, and he works in lives in different ways. And for one right now, he's a healer, and for another, he's a protector, and for another, he's a comforter. And see, we start going, wow, God's all these things. But, you know, I don't think we, I'm getting cold chills because I just, God is so awesome. And the more you start to experience him, the more you start seeing him in a realm that other people don't see him in. And don't get frustrated when someone doesn't experience, haven't experienced the God you've experienced. It just gives you reason to brag on him. So many images of who God is. Works. Am I going in and out? He works in lives. And let me just say this. He works in my life in different ways than he may be working in yours. And that's okay. And when you hear a sermon or you hear somebody start talking about God, you'll start hearing them talk about the God that they've experienced. And you may not have experienced him in that way, and then you discredit them. Or you're talking to someone based on the God you've experienced, and you're trying to get them to see that same God, and they've never experienced him in that way. And so what I want you to see is we all get in places where our image of God is different. Come on, everybody gets that point. Here's the problem. When you see God has done something in your life and you see him as that, you've got to be careful that you don't take a snapshot of him and then leave him in that picture. That's what we'll end up doing. God saved my family, and then all we ever see him is a God who restores families. And we don't see him when the health crisis comes. We don't see him in this area. We don't. So we just take a snapshot of where he is, and God provided this for me, and then that's all we ever see him as. And that's what has caused a non-growth in the Christian community, because so many only see a snapshot of salvation, and they don't see the others. Or you get maybe a little further in, and you see a snapshot. When you see a snapshot of God showing up in the body of Christ, people start coming to church more. But people don't have that snapshot of God. They don't have that understanding of God because their snapshot didn't ever show them the need for church. But when you've had a house fire and you have cars stacked up down your road and you have people that are sending you gift boxes from all across the country and you have little things show up, when you hear of somebody who just had a fire, you reach in your wallet and say, here, let me help you, because this is how God showed up through the church in our lives. And that just happened this weekend. We just heard of a family that just went through a house fire, and so we're doing everything we can. They're not even from this area, but we're doing everything we can to pour in and help. Why? Because I have a right view of God and I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm going to show up in that area. And I just want you to be careful tonight that you don't stop at your snapshot. But whatever your snapshot was, that you continue to let God magnify himself in that area, or you magnify him. He doesn't magnify himself. You magnify him in that area and make him who he is for someone else who doesn't see him in that area. I love this, and it's a way bigger topic than I can wrap my mind around, and I'm trying to communicate and I'm probably not getting it done. Here's what I want you to see. Everybody sees God different, and you got to be careful that how you see him, you don't keep him there. That's what I'm trying to get across here. So many have an image of who God is, and he's so much bigger than we can even comprehend. So we build this image of who he is, and then we restrict him. Well, you say, I can't restrict God. Yes, you can. You can restrict God because your image of him is too small. Or you've got an image in something else, like a doctor, like a car, like something else, a vacation. You've got your image in something else that's never going to do for you what God could do. And so he's so much bigger than we can comprehend. And you've got to get to the point in your life where you say, I will never know everything about God while I'm breathing right here. That's not an excuse to quit knowing. That should be
something that inspires you to go, I got more to learn. I got more to learn. Well, when I'm around somebody that's fired up about God because of something that he did in their own experiences, what I have learned to be careful about is not judging them and saying, well, that's not really God. No, no, no. He just showed himself in a way that I don't understand yet. And I get so tired of people painting a very boxed picture of God and putting down something that I know God did. But God didn't really do that. That was just chance.
There wasn't no chance about that at all. That didn't just happen to just take place. My God showed up. But you know, people will have a hard time with that. And they'll try to put God in a little box and just keep him at their snapshot because they don't want to have to go to church every week. They don't want to have a bigger view and have to change their way of thinking and the way they operate. See, this is all there is of God and no more. And we restrict him because we're not going to accept something more. Here's the real kicker. We're supposed to be like him. So what do? We set up a target. We set up a goal. We set up a Bible study. We go watch a DVD series. And we set up a goal of where we're going to be in our relationship with God at the end of this. Now, I'm not putting down goals. I think we need to shoot for goals, and I need to be further along in my prayer life, and I need to be further along in my Bible study, and I need to be further along here. So we set these goals. Here's the thing that you got to be careful about. Once you obtain that goal, that you don't say, okay, I have arrived. Okay, God has now restored my marriage, so I'm there. You know, when you didn't have the marriage that you were looking for, you were crying out to God every day. You were in his scripture. You were talking to everybody about scripture. But then when God did what you wanted, then all of a sudden, we quit growing. God, I'm needing some financial help. And now your bills are paid every month. You're in a good place, and you're not crying out to God anymore. But before, see, what happens so often is we're in a crisis, and that's when we start really growing. And what I hate is I resemble that remark over the last month and a half. I mean, really, I'm in a crisis. And so now I'm seeing God in a way I never saw him before. I'm dependent upon him in a way that I never depended upon him. And I'm thinking, man, you're a loser, Ellison. What do you mean? You're a loser because all of this you depended on and bragged on about yourself. And you didn't give God credit. And I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up, and that's what I've done a little bit of, beating myself up. But what he helped me to realize is, whoa, just wait a minute here. I love you, and yes, you are ignorant. And that's okay. That's why I'm your God. And that's why I have wisdom that you haven't experienced yet. And I have something for you to understand that you haven't got yet. And you're starting to just get a little glimpse of it. Don't put me in a box, Pastor Ashley. Let me just tell you, whatever your name is, don't put me in a box. And God's saying that to you tonight. Our images get so messed up because we think that we're working towards a target and a goal, and now we've got there. We're there, and we've got it all figured out. Here's what you've got to know. It's okay to have a target, but let that target be a moving target. Your understanding of God has got to grow. So if we're going to set a target up that we're going to understand God, let God move in your knowledge of who he is. He's not moving. He's the same. Please don't mess this up. He's the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. I get all of that. But your understanding, if it's going to grow, then you've got to have a moving target. God's not moving, but your understanding is. And so I'm shooting towards a bigger understanding. I'm shooting towards more Bible time. I'm shooting for more prayer time. I'm shooting for getting my prayer life right and not so centered around me, but centered around a relationship. I'm pushing for, I'm wanting more. I know God has some more for me. But here's the thing. I'm not like God now. I get that. But you're not finished. And neither am I.
We're not like God, but boy, we're working towards it. And through the blood of Jesus, we start resembling more and more. You look at your face in a mirror. Boy, there's so many scriptures just coming to mind. Because as you grow in your knowledge, understanding of a moving target of your understanding, I'm shooting towards a deeper understanding. I'm shooting towards this. Well, you can't just say, okay, I have arrived. Because God restored my marriage. Okay, I have arrived because God blessed me financially. Okay, I have arrived because now my kids are all excited about the Lord and all saved. That's all I prayed for since they were born, is that one day they would be saved. And so you get to that place and now you've arrived. That's a snapshot that will mess you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to end with this tonight and we'll kick this off next week. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. Says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. I will be talking more about this verse later, so I'm not going to dive into it real deep here. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke, thought, reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. You know, there's a day and time coming after this life that you'll get all this. But don't let that be an excuse for not seeking and trusting and wanting more right now. There's more available. There's more available. There's a deeper relationship that all of us can have regardless of what level you're at. When you were a child, you spoke, thought, and reasoned as a child. But when you grew up, you put away these childish things. I'm asking you to put away those snapshots and let's be open to a growth like we've never experienced in the things of God. And that'll be what we're talking about the next few Wednesdays.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.